The Purple Project Podcast here on Game Weekend. Eddie Greer here for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Daily. Before I get into a couple of recaps here, obviously I'm recording this a couple hours before game day kickoff down there in Arlington, Texas. Finally, it is here officially. Game day in the house with K-State taking on Stanford in a little over a couple hours. So this will come out probably around halftime at some point, early second half. So, a lot of stuff. I told you we had a lot of content coming out here in the Purple Project Podcast this weekend. So much has come out already. If you have not downloaded the Purple Project Podcast, or if you're not a subscriber, please hop in, join in on the fun, the Purple Project Podcast, where we talk about Kansas State athletics. You're a K-State alum or a student, or you're a big fan of the Cats, or you're a big college football fanatic. The Purple Project Podcast is the perfect podcast for you. So many P's. The Triple P Podcast. Well, K-State getting right. Obviously, when this comes out, this is going to be in the second half, at halftime or towards the second half of the K-State-Stanford game. So we'll see what happens there. Obviously, a huge stepping stone here for the Cats, obviously, and obviously the mumblings of KU winning last night, getting on the board during the Lance Leipold era there in Lawrence last night. I only caught the last couple minutes on rated because I did a game of my own last night there, which I'll get to momentarily on the back end of this daily podcast. It's going to be maybe a little longer than usual. But let's get down to it, because I didn't do a daily yesterday because obviously the Stanford preview. Oh, by the way, check that out. If you haven't already, please do that as well prior to game time. Again, this episode will come out around the second half of the K-State-Stanford All-State Kickoff Classic game here in a matter of 3 hours. So definitely a lot to look forward to, and obviously a lot going on here in Manhattan next weekend. And I got an action-packed weekend even next weekend that I'm really looking forward to, and hopefully it's going to be a good weekend all the way around. But obviously not a good weekend so far for K-State sports heading into the weekend, obviously, beginning with the volleyball team yesterday as they begin this tournament down there at Western California, falling in straight sets to number 21st ranked Pepperdine yesterday in straight sets. They fell out of Nebraska, number 15 in the country last weekend, and you lose here to Pepperdine there on top of that. But really, when you look at these sets, this could have gone either way, really. The Cats, nothing that should be ashamed about here. Pepperdine 25-22 in the first set. Then K-State takes them to the wire there, and Pepperdine, always the rule of thumb, you got to win by two in volleyball if you don't get to 25 out of a certain point range there. 32-30 in the second set. That probably was the kind of turning point there, and then the same thing. Pepperdine edged out K-State to sweep them in straight sets, 25-22 in the Guacho Invitational. They're at the Thunderdome in Santa Barbara, California. K-State drops to 1-2 as they'll continue this tournament here later on today. A doubleheader for the Cats, so hopefully the volleyball team can get some thing positive going in a win column here. But Aaliyah Carter, the Ling Reader, led the squad with a dozen kills, and she was one shy of her third straight double-double. Came up short. Holly Bond and Kaylee Fernholz each registered 11 kills, while Fernholz hitting a team-high 45%, while Bond turned in a 33% efficiency there. Fernholz tied her career high with 7 blocks, and it was hitting 33% or higher in all 3 matches this season. So Fernholz on a bit of a run. Pepperdine stays unbeaten, 4-0. You can probably hear the rain here as I'm recording here down in the basement here in the Greer residence. But Pepperdine 4-0 so far early in their season. And Susie Fritz after the game said, quote, "We hurt ourselves really with 2 main service errors. Quote, we played so clean in transition last weekend and we were feeling pretty good about that phase. But today, unfortunately, that phase was not locked up. It really cost us there. So it sounds like Little Tom Ayers there as well. For that as well. Also, Libro, Mackenzie Morris led the Cats with 10 digs. Tiana Adams Cannoli handed out 40 assists while recording 7 digs and 3 blocks and an ace as well. K-State finished with a 28% attack percentage, 46 kills, 15 errors, and 110 attacks in the game as well. So Fritz now falls to 0-2 against the Waves in her career as well here. And then, of course, K-State today, double dip in Santa Barbara today. They'll be taking on host Santa Barbara at 2 p.m. And then CR and San Diego State at 6:30 as well. So I believe they're going to be taking on either the winner or loser of that matchup as well. So obviously K-Man will have coverage of this game. I'm assuming this is going to be after, well, obviously it's going to be after the football game because it's at 2 p.m. Central Time, and the game here is going to begin here pretty shortly down there at 11. So I'm not going to talk much about K-State Stanford because all you need to know is in them two episodes that we record, me and Alex recorded this week, which pretty jam-packed action, of course. We'll be getting together at some point, either tonight or tomorrow, to record a post-game reaction of what went down against Stanford. So hopefully we're going to be talking about a W here in a total of 6 hours here, hopefully, down there. This is a big game, again, for K-State, so I'm going to leave that to K-State and Stanford. I'm really excited to see K-State and how they respond after losing 5 straight last year. So critical for Chris Klieman and company to get off to a good start there. Soccer, their streak, 3-game winning streak, came to a close here on Thursday, as they fell to the Pioneers on the road themselves there. As I pull up my other screen here, Denver bombarded K-State with 3 early goals, and K-State had their answer with one of their own. But that was all the scoring there. Denver 3, K-State 1. That's where it ends right there. And K-State was hoping to establish a new record of a winning streak. That came to a close there up in Denver on Thursday night, as Denver knocks off K-State 3-1 there. And then, of course, Mike DeBeany goes on to say, "Denver is a really good team, so I give them credit for the way they opened the match tonight and their play overall there." And then DeBeany says, quote, "I felt like the first 30 minutes we were on the back of our back foot, and they were on the front foot. We needed to get the game settled down quickly as possible. The game is about momentum. They punished us for mistakes, but we had chances as well in the first half to cut into it so we could get ourselves in a better position in the second half. I felt like we were much better in the second half. We were a lot more organized. We created a lot of chances, but when you dig yourself a hole and it's a really good team, it's a challenge." And Denver, a 2020 NCAA tournament participant, took the lead. Obviously, K-State answered there when Denver took the early goal there, but Denver established themselves early on. That sounds like a game earlier this year where K-State kind of fell behind. Yeah, they fell behind, but it was only like 2-1 at that point in time there. Yeah, it was a 1-0 game. It was the season opener where Mike DeBeany said probably the exact same, most likely the same thing, that, you know, they were on their back foot too much in the opener against Weber State. Weber State came out aggressively. K-State managed to hold their own there, and then Weber State obviously scored a golden goal in the second half. That's just too much there. That's something you have to avoid, especially on the road. There in that situation there where a team is comfortable at home and, Yeah, Denver's. Yeah, I did not know that Denver was pretty good in soccer. But anyways, K-State, they've been pretty good answering-wise there, but not here in this case here, as K-State falls to 3-2 on the young season there, looking to go 4-1. That did not happen there as well. So Kyler Goings scored the only goal for K-State in this one in the 37th minute there. Enitz made a great pass to connect with Goings there in the first half there. And that was the only goal there for K-State in this match right there. So K-State will conclude the weekend tomorrow, as the Wildcats will take on Colorado State at 1 p.m. Central Time as well. The match on Sunday will air online for free on the Mountain West Network as well. And of course, stats, if you're interested in that kind of thing, will be available at the kstatesports.com website as well. As we take a look at some of the stats from some of the girls, some of the gals in this matchup there, Kyla Goings had the only goal, and she had another shot on goal, which was denied. Brooklyn Enitz had the lone assist in the game, had two shots, none of them were on goal. Rule Yarnell Williams had two shots, and Porter List again for probably the fourth game in a row on the stat sheet had a shot that was not on goal as well. So K-State will look to bounce back tomorrow afternoon against Colorado State up in the state of Colorado. And I mentioned another K-State note here. I mentioned I did a game last night. I was tapped as play-by-play man for Backroads Broadcasting for Rock Creek High School football last night. So I will be doing the home games and traveling with the team as well throughout the season. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But last night, it was a fun game last night. Entertaining game there. And speaking of deficits, Rock Creek fell behind in the second quarter as Silver Lake went on that 15-0 run in the second quarter there. It was back and forth in the first quarter. Rock Creek took the lead 14-13, and then all of a sudden Silver Lake got their offense rolling, and really Silver Lake did whatever they wanted to do. Shout out Isaiah Dobbins, my commentary man, my analyst for the season. He made a good point, a couple of good points last night, that felt like Silver Lake offensively did whatever they wanted to do. But Shane Sheban, the head coach for Rock Creek, the Mustangs, said the post game last night that his kids battled. They did exactly that in the second half of the game last night. They battled, cut the lead to 7, and I felt the key turning point in the game last night was the crazy sequence after the touchdown there by Rock Creek to cut the 7 there. A line drive, kind of an onside-ish kick there, hits one of the front linemen for Silver Lake, bounce off of him, and Rock Creek recovers it. All the momentum shifts, and you don't take advantage of it, and you get penalized, back-to-back penalties on top of that. And you could not capitalize that. And I think that was a turning point in the game. And then in the fourth quarter there, a pick six thrown by Dalton Whitworth there. And Silver Lake runs it back in the end zone. And that turns to be the difference of the game right there, as they lose to Silver Lake 34-28 there. So Rock Creek 0-1 there. And of course, we will do it again. Not here, but on Backroads Broadcasting. Find it on the Facebook page. Back roads, that's two separate words, and then broadcasting on one word there. Live stream on that Facebook page there, and a YouTube channel as well. It was hopping last night. Rock Creek, though, falls to Silver Lake 34-28 in non-district play. And the next game will be next Friday night. Like I said, I got a lot going on next weekend as well. The Rossville game, then I turn around, go up to Marysville in the morning, do this Pony Express Marathon, and then turn around, get ready to go to the Bill Steiner Family Stadium for the official home and home opener, as they'll be taking on Southern Illinois in prime time at 6 Central Time. So, like I said, and then Sunday is an all-day thing, including with the Jordy Nelson softball / baseball tournament that they get going on Sunday. So, yeah, like I said, a lot going on there in the mix. So I'm really looking forward to next weekend as well. But, like I said, focus on today. Big day for K-State taking on Stanford. Unfinished business. Hopefully, we will come out of this with a win. We'll have to see what happens. So, Skylar back. Excited to see him back on the field after being injured last year and not playing. Basically, a season-ending injury last year. So, yeah, I just wanted to give Back Roads a shout-out there as well. So, make sure you give us a follow there. And even if you're not a fan, if you're a big fan of high school football or you're a big fan of me doing play-by-play or whatever, please, but I have friends that have done that. They did it last night. Even though they're not a fan of the team, they don't know about the high school team, they wanted to listen to me commentate the game. You can hop on there and do that as well. But like I said, a longer daily today as well. I'm not going to talk much football. If you have missed out on any of the episodes this week on the Purple Project Podcast, please subscribe to the Purple Project Podcast, aka Triple P, wherever you get your podcast on this rainy Saturday morning here in Manhattan. But activity is about to heat up down in Jerry World, and hopefully the volleyball team will get a win. K-State soccer looking to bounce back from a win tomorrow. We'll have a daily tomorrow as well. And obviously, I might mention this football score there, but definitely there's going to be a post-game podcast on that as well. So stay tuned, Wildcat Nation, for more on the Purple Project Podcast. Go Cats! Good, exciting weekend ahead for K-State Sports. Eddie Greer III, that's it for right now. We'll talk to you later on this weekend.